Nepal is in political turmoil. Yesterday, Maoist rebels attacked an airport and government offices 375 miles northwest of Kathmandu. At least 137 people died, mostly police and soldiers. The attacks are the worst in a six-year insurgency. Today, a scuffle broke out in the Nepalese parliament. Some lawmakers wanted the prime minister to resign because they said he has mishandled the crisis. And Nepal is still reeling from a bizarre palace massacre last June when the crown prince murdered 8 members of the royal family and then killed himself. Jim Fisher, a professor at Carleton College in Minnesota, has written a book on Nepal's political evolution. He says that the Maoist rebels are not universally feared in Nepal.
They have a kind of Robin Hood reputation in some quarters. For example, they attack banks and then tear up the mortgages that peasants have written to landlords. Or one thing they did was they went to the jail and freed all the prisoners. They have a kind of common touch there. From the point of view of some people, the rebels should be crushed. The prime minister has felt that this is primarily a political problem, which must be solved through some sort of negotiations. In fact, there have been negotiations between the government and the rebels, but they broke down, and the result is this absolute chaos and bloodletting which we've seen.
Has the kingdom really recovered from the massacre of the royal family by one of its own last summer?
In some ways, yes. In some ways, no. I would say that traumatic and dramatic as that royal massacre was, the main political issue in Nepal has been this Maoist insurgency, really, really more important than the royal massacres, because there's still a king in the palace, there's still a royal family, but it's a constitutional monarchy, and in a way, it doesn't matter all that much who is the king. On the other hand, I would say that in a way, psychologically, the country hasn't recovered. People do not understand what happened in the massacre. They don't believe that the crown prince just went berserk. They think that there's some sort of conspiracy, whether it was by the Maoists or the Indians or the Chinese or who knows. So in that sense, I think Nepal, in a way, will never recover from that.
Do you think that we might see a full-scale revolution in Nepal? Are these insurgents being supported by any of Nepal's neighbors, like China?
Well, the country is now held, about a quarter of the country is held by the rebels. That's a very large piece of territory. External support, I would say, none. I mean, the irony here is that these people call themselves Maoists, but China has no interest whatsoever in supporting this movement. This is not a Chinese-supported movement from across the border.
But given the government's fragility, you think that the insurgency could bring the government down?
Well, I mean, it's difficult to speculate what the ultimate endgame is going to be here. You could have a situation like Sri Lanka, for example, which has had an insurgency for some 20 years, and it's just a standoff. Neither side seems to be able to win. On the other hand, you have the example of Cambodia, where the Khmer Rouge started out as a similar kind of Maoist type of movement and eventually overthrew the government. And the result was 4 or 5 years of absolute devastation in which millions of Cambodians were killed. It seems to me that the only solution that can really work is some sort of negotiated political solution. But that seems to be quite far from grasp at the present moment.
Professor Fisher, thank you very much for speaking with us.
You're very welcome.
Jim Fisher is the author of Living Martyrs, Individuals and Revolution in Nepal.